Friends, in Jesus' grace, to you and peace from God, our Father, and from our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus. Let's listen again to the words of the gospel lesson, this amazing miracle that our Lord Jesus performs. He returned to the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears and after spitting touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened. His tongue was released and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. This is God's word. Please be seated. So did you know that Jesus Christ has a Twitter account? Here is the screenshot. And on his Twitter account, he has tweeted such things as, I'm actually very excited about the royal wedding. And happy Earth Day. And ugh, Monday. So apparently even our Lord doesn't like Mondays. Sadly, thankfully, this account, whoever has it, has only 665,000 followers, which really is just a drop in the bucket compared to Katy Perry, who has more Twitter followers than anyone else, with 107 million followers. That's about one in three Americans. That means that maybe, 40, 50 of us are following Katy Perry. Anyone want to confess? David, are you following Katy Perry? No. Justin Bieber has slightly fewer followers at 104 million. Former President Barack Obama comes in with a respectable 102 million, while our current president, for all of the tweeting that he likes to do, lags behind with only 35 million. But for many people, social media has given them a platform to magnify their voice and to amplify their opinions, because they seem to have this need for attention, to be heard, and to impose their opinions on other people who, for the most part, really don't care what they think about anything. Lady Gaga may have 76 million Twitter followers, but that's still a vast majority of us who really couldn't care less what she thinks or what she's doing right now or what she had for breakfast this morning. I wonder, if Twitter had been a first century technology, would Jesus have opened an account? I think based on Mark's gospel and on our gospel reading today, which is very like a microcosm of all of Mark's gospel, I would say I don't think he would. I doubt that he would have opened a Twitter account. Although I'm pretty sure that if he would, he would have a massive following as popular as he was. And yet popularity is of no interest to Jesus, and for good reason. Because he knows that in this world, we create popular people and we put people up on pedestals for all the wrong reasons. But Jesus, rather than seeking the attention and the accolades of the crowds, does just the opposite. I don't know if you noticed this in the gospel reading, but it says that he took this man aside privately. He could have performed this miracle out in the open. Or if he had done it in our day, he could have had it videoed and posted it to Twitter and YouTube, and he would have gone viral. He would have been wildly popular, and he would have garnered many more followers. But instead, he takes this deaf-mute man off to the side, away from the crowd, privately, and then he restores him. And then right after the miracle, you notice this, Jesus tells the few witnesses that there were not to tell anyone. Mark even says he charged them not to tell anyone. That's pretty strongly worded. Do not tell anyone what you have seen here today. And in the days of Twitter and Facebook, when many people measure their worth by how many followers and friends they have, this seems to be kind of bizarre behavior. Of course, one of the reasons that Jesus didn't want the word to get around was that people would glom onto him just for his miracles, as if the miracles were an end in themselves, as if this was the main thing he came to do and not a sign of the much bigger thing he came to do. But it could also be that Jesus downplayed his own miracles just because of who Jesus is, because he's less concerned about the crowds and he's more concerned about the one, that one deaf, mute man who desperately needs his mercy. Jesus is so different, isn't he, than all the popular people of our day who have these Twitter accounts, from presidents and politicians to pop stars and even popes. Yeah, did you know the Pope has a Twitter account with only about half of the followers of our current president, whatever that says about the Pope or the president. But these people want to be heard. They want to be followed by as many people as possible. And yet at the same time, and I find this kind of interesting, while these people want you to follow them and to listen to them, they don't want you to bother them. I mean, do you think that if you were to tweet Taylor Swift, that you'd like her to come over to your place, that she's going to respond to you? No. No. And if you do it enough, she's likely going to have you investigated for stalking her. She doesn't want to be bothered by you. She just wants you to listen to her and to follow her so that she can garner as large a following as possible. But Jesus, our blessed Lord, he is exactly the opposite. He tried to get away from the crowd, to go off to a quiet place, to be with his little band of disciples. And yet, when the crowds sought him out and found him anyway, rather than feeling bothered by them or annoyed or feeling like he was being stalked, he always showed them compassion. And sometimes he showed compassion on the crowd as a crowd, and he would feed thousands of people at the same time. But usually his compassion took the form of dealing with people in that crowd one by one. Like we read in Matthew 15, great crowds came to Jesus, bringing with them people who were lame, crippled, blind, mute, and many others, and they simply put them down at his feet, and he healed them one by one. He heard them. He touched them. He healed them. Just the one, just as he did for that deaf, mute man in our reading. You see, Jesus is always concerned about the one who's hurting, the one who's needy, the one who is mourning, the one who is crying out. He was concerned about that one woman with the discharge of blood, about that one sick daughter of the Gentile Syrophoenician woman. He was moved to action by the plight of one widow who had lost her only son to death, and by the sad predicament of that one paralyzed man who was lowered down through the roof. He was concerned for that one tax collector, that one prostitute, that thief, even that soldier on the cross who crucified him. He cares about the one. And that's good to know, because in this big old world, with all the people, I am just one, and so are you. But the one about whom he is concerned, Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, the Creator of this world, who, if he had a Twitter account, would have a following that would dwarf Katy Perry's. And yet popularity is of no concern to him. But you are. You are. Jesus, the one whose entire ministry was focused on the One, was concerned for you and for the hurts and the pains that you bear. That One who took the deaf mute aside to heal him has also set you aside by your baptism, when it was just you, and called you by name, and chose you from among the throngs of the nations to show you mercy and love and forgive you and to restore you. He is concerned for the one who is held in bondage to their addictions, to the one who is broken by guilt. He cares about the one who is held captive by their past, and the one who feels forgotten and alone in this world. He is concerned for the one who is in pain, who is hungry and destitute, who cries, who mourns, who is lost. That's just the kind of Lord we worship. And He doesn't stop at being concerned about the one, but that concern always moves Him to do something. And so it was with one great act of redeeming love, Jesus redeemed all of us from our sins and from all of their eternal consequences and said at the cross, "It's finished." He completed God's plan to make all things new again. And Easter is God's declaration that He did it well, and that His sacrifice avails for the sins of the world. Yes, the sins of the whole world, and yet also it was just for you. As He says in the sacrament, "Here, take it. This is for you." "Ephphatha," Jesus said to that deaf mute man. And his ears were open, as our Lord Jesus has opened our ears to hear this beautiful gospel. This gospel that in this world of violence and terror and hunger and disease, He has intervened to restore His creation and to make it new again by reconciling us to Himself in the forgiveness of our sins. And the deed is done. Now it's just a matter of time until He comes again. But His creation is being made new in Him, just as that deaf mute man was made new in Him. Do you ever think about the nature of this miracle? It wasn't just that his lips were open and his ears were open. He had never heard a word before. All those connections had to be made in the brain for him to suddenly be able to speak. It's a total restoration of this man. And it's a picture of what He's going to do for all of the creation. As Isaiah says, when the eyes of the blind are going to see, and the lame man will leap, and the mute tongue will sing, and waters will break forth in the wilderness, and the creation is made new again. All by what Jesus did on the cross. And He's coming again. And just knowing that He's coming to do all of that, to set everything right again, is all that we need to know to keep pressing forward, to keep hoping, to keep believing, to keep trying, even in the face of everything that is wrong in this world. And of course, it was not just the man's ears that were open to hear that good news, but his lips were also opened to share it. And oh, you better believe he shared it. How could he not? And so too we pray, O Lord, open Thou my lips, that my mouth may declare Thy praise. And when our lips are open to declare His praise and our lives become open to serve Him, He breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil. And He brings goodness into this world through His people, through His church, wherever and however they serve. And I believe that like Jesus, His church is at its best when we don't get all caught up in numbers, but we care about the One. Oh yeah, we do care about reaching as many as we can. And for that reason, we want you to share our Facebook page, you know, like it, share it. Support the Lutheran Hour and everything that we do to try to get the word out as broadly as possible and to as many as possible. But more than anything else, you and I need to start caring about the one. That one, and you know who it is in your life. That one who's hurting. That one who's crying and grieving. That one who is lonely. That one who is hungry. That one who needs you to visit. Who needs your help. And one by one, as we touch people's lives, and as we serve them in the name of our Jesus, His kingdom comes. And what a thrill, and what a joy to be a part of that. If by my love, I can reach just one for Jesus, then my life is full. Just one. Let's pray. Oh Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that You would open our eyes to see those around us who need You so desperately, and especially to see that one who is crying, who is lonely, who is hungry, who needs help. Oh Lord, as we see those individuals, also move us, as You were moved, to be of service to them, to do what we can to alleviate their suffering and to bring newness and hope to their lives, that in our love they may see You and see the hope that lies ahead of us when You return to renew all things. Lord Jesus, open our mouths to show forth Your praise to that one who needs us. We pray, Lord, in Your name. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.